Luke chapter number 2, verses 25 through 40. Luke chapter number 2, verses 25 through 40. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, and departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." This morning, I'd like to look at the thought that our Savior was wonderful in his purpose. Wonderful in his purpose. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for your Spirit that speaks expressly to our spirit, Father. And we pray now that you would be glorified in what's done, Father, and that you might speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, actress Helen Hayes had her first attempt at Thanksgiving dinner. Until that time, they had simply gone out to eat for Thanksgiving. So she came out and she warned her husband and her son that if it was not good, if the food was not good, that they don't need to say a word. They do not need to say one word. By the way, men, that's good advice. She said, don't say a word. Just get up, put your coats on, head to the door. I'll take that as a signal, and we'll go out like we do every year. So she went ahead and made the meal, and she was ready to prepare it. She went back to the kitchen, she grabbed the turkey, and went into the dining room, and there she found her husband and her children already with coats on at the door, okay? Their expectation was not high. Now, sometimes in our lives, our expectations control our conduct. Sometimes our expectations control our conduct. What we expect determines how we believe and how we behave. And today, we're going to look at a man named Simeon. He was a man who spent his entire life expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he was expecting to see the Lord, it changed the way he lived. It changed his behavior. How many here believe that expecting the Lord to come should change the way that you live? Amen? We're not much different in this day and age. Now, he was expecting the first coming, but how many here today are waiting anxiously for the second coming of the Lord? Amen? Awaiting the rapture of the church, so to speak. And I'm not going to go into deep doctrine. I know it's a rapture and then the tribulation and then what is really officially called the second coming. But we're looking for the Lord, aren't we? We're looking, and by the way, if you're looking, it should change the way you behave, amen? It should change the way you live. In chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, the Bible says there, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord." The Bible says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, we learn here that Jesus Christ is the eternal pre-existent Word. Christ is the eternal pre-existent Word. Jesus Christ was in existence before Bethlehem's manger. He is the eternally pre-existent Son of God. But Jesus came down. And He came down to this earth as the Messiah to reveal God's love for the entire world. And here was Simeon. Simeon was a man simply waiting for that day when he would see the Lord Jesus Christ. He would see Him with his own eyes. Now, Joseph and Mary at first had been startled about the news. They were startled that Jesus would be born of Mary. But by the time of His actual birth, that startlement and that confusion turned into amazement, and they were thrilled, and the shepherds came and they rejoiced. And it would seem that God in all of His glory and all of His magnificence had given a peace in Joseph and Mary's life. Now a special day would come in their lives. It was special because it was a ceremonial day for all Jewish children. That would be the day when they would leave the place of their birth and they would come to the temple for their dedication. It was also, it was to be accomplished 41 days after the birth of the baby, giving time for the purification of the mother. Now, Joseph and Mary would leave the confines of their solace and their private time with the Lord. And now they are going to enter a more public setting, a more public arena for the very first time. It was on the way to the temple that they would run into the character of our story, a man by the name of Simeon. I want to notice the anticipation of a holy man. The anticipation of a holy man. Simeon was a holy man. For many reasons, but we want to look at that word holy from the standpoint of being set apart. That's what the word holy really means, to be set apart from something and unto something. And Simeon was set apart from the world and unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what the word set apart means. His life was set apart for the purpose of God. And we see in our text people like Simeon. We see people like Anna who lived their lives waiting for the Messiah. We find in verse 38, for example, where the Bible says there in chapter 2, verse 38, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake for of Him to all them that looked for," listen to this, "all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." There were a group of people that were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the redemption of Israel. They were looking for that hope that they were given that one day a Messiah would come. And they were looking, they were anxiously looking for that day. They may have been a very small remnant in Jerusalem, but they were there. The temple was rebuilt by Herod, not because he loved the Lord in any way, but because he wanted to appease the Jews. Many of the people who were at this temple were God-fearing people. They were Bible-reading people, such as this man, Simeon. I want you to notice that Simeon was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for Messiah. Look at verse number 25. The Bible says there, in Luke 2:25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." We find Simeon here is waiting for Messiah. Now, all of us who are blood-washed, born-again Christians today, we're waiting people, amen? We are a people waiting for a promise. We are a people waiting for our redemption as far as the rapture of the church. And all of us who are blood-washed, born-again people, we're waiting. We, like Simeon, should be a holy people. We should be forsaking the religious corruption and the political corruption and the chaos of the day in which we live in with sincerity of heart. And we should be waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you today, are you waiting? Are you waiting for His return? Titus 2:13, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, even back then, they were looking for the redemption. They were looking for Christ to come. In John 14:1 through 3, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, we are waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. A waiting Christian is a separated Christian. A waiting Christian is a set apart kind of a Christian. His life is very different from this world. He lives a different life. If you're waiting for the coming of Christ, you won't want to be found living in sin. Amen? You won't want to be found in bitterness. Amen? You won't want to be found in anger. You will not want to be the gossiper of the church. Amen? You don't want to be the one stirring trouble in your church. You don't want to be the one that's found to be the troublemaker. You don't want to be the one in any kind of a sinful lifestyle. You do not want to be that person. I promise you, the day that Christ calls us home, you don't want to be that person. Trust me. You do not want to be that person. And so Simeon was waiting. He was waiting for the Messiah. I want to notice that Simeon was waiting in faith. He was waiting in faith. Look at verse number 26, if you will. The Bible says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You see, Simeon was given a promise. The word revealed shows that there was a divine admonition that was given specifically to him. It was based on this admonition that his faith was built up. He was told by the Holy Ghost that he would live to see the Messiah. Now, I want to focus on the fact that you and I hold in our very hands the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God for us. Amen? And we're holding that in our very hands, and we should be living in expectation. We should be living by faith. It has been revealed to us who this person Jesus is, and it's been revealed to us that He is coming again. And we are here today to have a faith strengthened so that we may live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. He was waiting in faith. And then I want you to notice that Simeon was waiting in spirit. Look at verse 27 again. The Bible says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. You know what that means? That means Simeon lived the kind of life that was completely led by the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit of God told him to go into the temple, he went into the temple. Amen? He was living a life that was completely yielded and submitted to every leading of the Spirit of God within him. That's a successful Christian life, by the way, when you live a life that is very sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. How did you come to church today? Did you come by way of the flesh? Were you drugged to church today? Did you come by way of the flesh, or did the Holy Spirit of God bring you here today? Which one is it? And some people, they come to church with no expectation. They come to church and they're really not prepared. They come to church and they've not been in the Word of God and they've not been in prayer, and they come drudgingly and they come not expecting God to do great things, and they come here in the flesh. And there are others of us who come here because the Holy Spirit is leading us, is prompting us. It's causing us to come today to get something that He has for us. And which one are you here? Did He come here this morning by way of the flesh, or did He come here this morning by way of the Spirit? Simeon came by way of the Spirit, hoping that this would be the very day that he would see his Savior. I hope that you came today with the anticipation that I'm coming to church this morning because I want to see my Savior. Amen? I want to see my Savior. You can see him today. Come by way of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." When we are in the flesh, we don't want to do spiritual things. How many have found in your life, and by the way, we've all been here. And I'm not going to ask for raising of hand because honestly, we've all been here. How many have found in times that you're doing what your flesh wants to do rather than you're doing what God wants you to do? How many have found that those have been the hardest times to get into the Word of God? Amen? The hardest times to get into prayer. I found that. I believe there was D.L. Moody who said that either the Bible will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the Bible. Amen? And sometimes when we're living in the flesh, we just have no desire to get up a little early in the morning to pick up the Word of God and to dig deep into the Word of God because our flesh is leading us rather than the Spirit. And so we have to live by the Spirit. When we're in the flesh, we don't want spiritual things. That's when we don't want to read the Bible. That's when we drudge spending time in prayer. That's when we don't get anything out of the sermons. It's amazing. I could preach a sermon, and the very same sermon, somebody maybe over on this side comes up to me afterwards and says, "Pastor, that's exactly what I needed. You've strengthened me. You've made me stronger. You've helped me today. Thank you so much." And maybe somebody over here, and by the way, I'm not saying this side's spiritual and this side's not, okay? I'm just randomly saying. But maybe somebody comes up to me afterwards and says, "Pastor, I'm just not being fed." And they heard the same message. The difference is in the attitude and what you're being led by. If you're led by the flesh, you're not going to get anything out of the sermon. But if you're being led by the Spirit of God, every word that comes is going to be something that will be just strengthening to your heart. Amen? It's going to help you. It's going to make you stronger. You see, when we're in the flesh, we have a way of making things worse. I heard of a man who got an ironing board for his wife for Christmas. Men, if that's your idea, cross that off, okay? And got an ironing board for his wife. The next year, he got a buffer so that she could wax the car. His wife tried giving him some help, and she said, "Honey, why don't you give me something that would make me look slim and beautiful?" She wanted a nice dress, perhaps. And so he got her an exercise bike, okay? Men, don't take notes on this, all right? That's a bad idea. Sometimes, folks, when we're in the flesh, we just make things worse. You see, when we're walking in the Spirit, you're going to have some wisdom in what you do. You're going to have the Spirit's leading. You're going to have His guidance. You're going to have His wisdom. And when you walk in the Spirit, you're going to bring peace to your family. Amen? And when you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to bring joy to your church family, amen? And you're going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Simeon was a man who anticipated the Messiah, and he did so in faith and in the Spirit. He did so in faith and in the Spirit. I believe today that we need holy men and women in the church who will make their decisions based on what pleases God rather than based on what their flesh wants. Men and women who anticipate our Lord's returning. Amen? But not only did he anticipate, we see the anticipation of the holy man, but we see the adoration of a grateful heart. We see the anticipation of a holy man, but we see the adoration as well of a grateful heart. I want you to notice the announcement of belief. The announcement of belief. Look at verse number 28. The Bible says, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said." You know, I believe Christmas has as much to do with adoring the Lord as anything else. Adoring him. And here Simeon picks him up and just this babe and blesses him and adores him. And notice in verse at this point, we're going to look in verse 28 in just a moment, but Joseph and Mary have just departed out of Bethlehem. That's the same place where David kept his father's sheep generations before. And as they enter the temple, they come upon this man, Simeon. And notice in verse number 28, the Bible says, Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now, Simeon is blessing God the Father, and he is adoring Jesus, God's Son. The same way that the angels had done in verses 13 and 14. Simeon understood that what the Jehovah Witnesses do not understand. He understood what the Mormons do not understand. He understood what the Muslims refuse to see. He understood that this child was none other than Messiah, that he was God in the form of flesh. And so we see the announcement of belief. Then we see the announcement of relief. Look at verse 29, if you will. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon was relieved. What he's saying is that now I can leave this earth in peace. Now I am ready to die. Now I have seen the promise that was given. And you know, until you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, did you know you're not ready to leave this planet? Did you know that if you do not know Jesus Christ for who he is, that you are not ready to leave this earth? Simeon said, I am not ready to leave until I can behold your salvation. And today, if you have not beheld his salvation, if you have not looked upon the face of Jesus Christ and accepted him as your personal Savior, you are not fit to leave this earth. You are not fit. Simeon said, I have seen him. I have seen your salvation. I am ready to depart from this earth because I've seen your salvation. I feel sad every time I hear of someone on their deathbed asking the priest to perform the last rites. They're just looking for some kind of peace before they leave this world, even if it's a false peace. I feel sad. Simeon had peace in that he saw God's salvation. He didn't see the church. He didn't come to a church building and say, look, there's a church. Now I've seen thy salvation. It wasn't a church he saw. He didn't see the church. He didn't see the Pope. He didn't see a pond in which he could get baptized. He didn't see an opportunity to do good works, to maybe earn salvation. He simply saw the face of Jesus and said, I have beheld your salvation. I have beheld your salvation. The only thing he saw with his eyes and referred to as salvation was Jesus Christ. No one is ready to leave this planet until they turn to Jesus for their salvation. It was a relief. Jesus is the light of the world. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 32, the Bible says that he is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He is that light. Jesus is the light that came to bring salvation to a lost and dying world. In Romans 10, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, for there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whether you are Greek, whether you are Jew, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are healthy, whether you are in bad health, no matter who you are today, let me say this, whether you are wicked or whether you are kind of all right in society's eyes, it does not matter, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have a whosoever salvation. Anybody can be saved today. That is the true meaning of Christmas. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christmas is all about a Savior. It's all about salvation. And so we see the adoration of a grateful heart. And then I want to notice, thirdly, the announcement of his heavenly purpose. Look at verse number 33. The Bible says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set up for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I want to notice a prophecy of suffering. Verse number 35, he says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, I'm excited. I'm excited about James and Amy and the baby that's coming, amen? And congratulations, by the way. That's wonderful news. Imagine if I met you maybe at the hospital and it's a short time after that baby is born, and I said, can I hold your baby? And you said, sure. And I held your baby and looked into the eyes and said, may a sword of sorrow go through its soul. You may ask for your baby back, right? Okay? That's something that's kind of awkward to say. I mean, we'd say, what a beautiful baby. What a wonderful baby. But how many have ever had the experience of that newborn baby being held and somebody saying, may a sword of sorrow pierce through your soul? That's weird, isn't it? That's kind of creepy. It's kind of spooky, but that's what he's saying. It's a strange thing for a holy man to say, but for us who know that Christ would suffer for us, we understand this to be a prophetic statement of the sorrow that Mary would go through in seeing her very son die. John 19, verse 25 through 27, the Bible says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. Now, I can imagine as Mary stood there at the foot of the cross, and as she looked upward to her son, who was in reality the Son of God, whom she conceived by the Holy Ghost, she knew that this was the Son of God. She knew that this was a Christ child. She knew that this was the Messiah. Yet when she saw those nail-pierced hands, I'm sure she thought of the very first time that she held those little tiny hands in a manger. Maybe she thought back to that. Perhaps she had kissed those little hands numerous times. And those precious hands, now she's holding. Now they're pierced through with giant stakes. Now she looks up at the cross and she sees the feet. And those same feet that maybe as a small child she held, I believe maybe one of the cutest things about a baby are their feet. Amen. So many times you just want to take those feet, and I've seen many people do this. I've never done this, by the way. Take those feet and just kind of kiss all over them. You know, like an absolute raving lunatic, you know. But they're cute, right? Those little tiny feet, and oftentimes, you know, we want to get a sketch, a little outline of those feet, or maybe, you know, somehow make an imprint or something along the line of those cute little tiny baby feet, amen? They're so adorable. But now she's looking at those same feet and they have huge stakes in them as well. And I'm sure it broke her heart. Now she's looking at the cross and she's seeing those feet that she held so many times. And now the Roman soldiers have put nails through those precious feet and the blood of her son is flowing down and her heart is pierced through with many sorrows. Simeon is prophesying the fact that Jesus Christ was born for one purpose, and that was to die for us. He was born to die. Jesus came to earth. He came to die on that old rugged cross, and every filthy act and every dastardly deed and every sin that was ever done by every human being who had ever lived would be placed upon him that day, and that blood was shed for you and it was shed for me. And even through all of that, men would reject the salvation he paid for. 1 Peter 2, 8, the Bible says, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. As we're getting ready to celebrate the Christmas season, some see the manger scene and want a lawsuit. Honestly. Some hear the joyful songs of Christmas and it angers them. I don't know why that would ever be. If they only knew that what he did was for them. If only they knew that he came to die for them. and yet they're angry. I want to notice a prophecy of salvation. Look at verse 30. The Bible says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Isaiah 53, 5 through 6, the Bible says, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him," God the Father hath laid upon Jesus the Son, "the iniquity of us all." Because Jesus came in a lowly manger, robed in flesh, because he lived a man for 33 and a half years and died as a criminal, paying not for his own crimes, for he had never committed a crime, but he is paying for ours. We can escape the penalty of eternal damnation, eternal death in hell. And Christmas began in the heart of God. But let me say today that Christmas is only complete when it reaches the heart of man. Christmas began in the heart of God, but it is only complete when it reaches the heart of man. Has it reached your heart today? Has it reached down to you? Simeon, his expectancy of the Messiah changed his life forever. Why did Jesus come? What was his purpose? Why all of this? Why do we make such a fuss? Why the, you know, all the decoration and all the songs that were written just for this occasion, and all the work towards maybe a Christmas program or a musical or whatever it may be? Why do we put all this fuss into this? It's for one purpose and one purpose only, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know that's a Christmas verse? The Son of Man is come, born in a manger in Bethlehem. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're lost and in need of a Savior. Maybe you're saved today, but you haven't been living your life in preparation for when he comes again. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not like Simeon. Maybe you're not a holy man anticipating Christ coming. I wonder if today you'd say, "Pastor, I can't honestly be compared to Simeon. I'm not looking for his coming. I'm not expecting. My life is not such a life that shows my expectancy of his coming." And this morning you say, "Pastor, I need to get that settled. I need to change my thought process. I need to live my life in expectancy of his coming." Whatever it may be, if God's speaking to your heart, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much.